Gary isn't in the flow. Gary is the flow. That was Fred Van Vliet about Gary Trent Jr. This is Jurassic Views.
Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Bryce Diamond, post game against the Miami Heat, morning devotions. Three in a row. We've won three in a row. We come back home after a road trip, which is always tricky. That first game back, you kind of settle into the routines of home. This was a little different in that it was a back-to-back at home. And it almost felt like the Raps were still on the road. The adrenaline was pumping. We'll see how they play against Chicago on Thursday, tomorrow night. But this was an interesting game. Both teams on back-to-backs. Miami, of course, sat PJ Tucker and sat Jimmy Butler last night in preparation for this game. I feel like that's a compliment. They got blown out versus the Boston Celtics. I don't know if that was a favor that Spo is giving Brad Stevens because the Boston Celtics have been struggling this year, but he sits Butler and Tucker. Also, Lowry wasn't in the ball game. Boston shoots the lights out. They blow out Miami. Miami comes in this game, yes, on a back-to-back, but has two of their five starters fresh. Lowry, of course, out again. Ken Birch out again. Dragic still in Miami, begging Pat Riley to do something, to try to have a face-to-face conversation with Masai Ujiri. But the Miami Heat came out very solid. They looked fresh. They looked fit. They looked ready to control and dominate this game, probably pissed off still that they lost the triple overtime game in South Beach, this Raptors team. But the Raptors said, we're gonna make you work full for four full quarters. They were down 65-50. Offense was kind of sputtering a bit. And then slowly they started chipping away. Pascal made a bucket. OG made a bucket. Freddie got a three. And they just slowly chipped away. And then just before the end of the quarter, they get a bucket from Gary, who started to get hot in that third. And they got a nice putback dunk from Precious. And wouldn't you know it, they enter the fourth quarter just down 3 points, 83 to 80. After a Miami bucket to make it 85-80, the Raptors went on a really nice 10-0 run. And what was a 5-point lead for Miami was now a 5-point lead for the Raptors. And although Bam Adebayo had been really playing at a high level to give his team the lead, he sat for that opening kind of 2.5 minutes, and the Raptors made them pay. They really couldn't find anybody to score for them. At that point, it looked like Fred was going to play the entire fourth. Pascal and OG were getting had some low minutes going into the fourth, or lower minutes, probably for most starters. They were going to play kind of average minutes, 34, 35. OG, I think, played the entire fourth as well. And when it was all said and done, the guys who were playing 40 minutes were Scottie Barnes and Gary Trent Jr., which is a lot to play the young guys on that starting lineup. But with all the minutes that Fred, OG, and Pascal have logged this year, it probably made the most sense. But with that 90 to 85 lead, that 10-0 run, it really turned the momentum. You could see the Raptors getting back into it, but Miami still held control, still held kind of the confidence of the game. And as the fourth quarter went on, Miami wasn't going anywhere, but Toronto was very sure of themselves, whether they won or lost. And I think you can attribute that to what happened in Miami with that triple overtime. Something changed mentally for the Raptors in respect to the season. I don't mean just for that game or just for in playing against Miami, but something changed them. Confidence grew, a sense of security grew within them, a groundedness. And the last two games in Atlanta, being down, against Miami, being down, they felt pretty confident about themselves. They almost had that Chicago game too, and they were down. But they're a team that something has changed mentally for them. And last night it showed once again. This is a team that's not gonna you know, lose confidence or sink because they're down a few points, because they give up a few buckets. The lead was taken from them, and it was 93-92 Miami. And then Gary Trent Jr. went on an 8-0 run by himself with about 4 minutes to go. Miami called a timeout. They then got themselves back into the game, which you expect from a team that's been to the finals, from a team that has championship aspirations. You expect them to stay in this game and bounce back. They're not going to sink either. With the game at 100-98, the Raptors then went on a 10-2 run to go up 108-100. And the Scotty Barnes tip-in, another offensive rebound for this team. I believe they lead the league, or second in the league in offensive rebounds this season. And when you get those back-breaking buckets scored against you, and that lead is now 8, meaning a 3-possession game with about a minute and a half, a minute 45 to go, it's really hard to get a win, especially on the road, especially with the confidence Toronto Raptors are playing with. And they did get it to 108-106 with 6.7 seconds to go, and the Raptors managed the clock actually extremely well. That's probably the best I've seen this team manage the clock. They didn't do it against Washington earlier this year. They struggled to do it with a lead against Philly, but figured it out earlier this season. But here is a game against a good team, 8 points, minute 45 to go, and they just had to manage the clock. If they just ran 24 seconds off 3 possessions and played one good defensive possession, the game was pretty much in their hands, and that's what happened. Raps had a 2-point lead with 6.7 seconds to go. Miami fouls, they had a foul to give, and then a nice play call and a nice read from Scotty Barnes in that inbound up 108-106. Scotty saw that OG was ahead of the defender and that the defender had two guys on him, and the defender had to make a decision. Am I going to guard Pascal or am I going to guard OG? And Pascal made a quick little fake cut away from the basket. That made the defender a little hesitant. And then Scotty just set an alley-oop out of bounds straight to OG. OG caught the alley-oop and simply laid it in soft for a very easy bucket and the ball game. 110-106. It felt last night like Eric Spoelstra took a game personally. I think when they lost in triple overtime, he nodded his cap, you know, tipped his cap to Nick Nurse. But last night was different. Nick Nurse had some sets last night that were new, wanted to try out against Spo, and I think it frustrated Spoelstra. And then his team executed much of that game. And, you know, didn't get a great game from Jimmy Butler, of course, didn't have the smarts of Kyle Lowry out there. And you could see that defensively and offensively, they were missing some important wisdom and decision making that obviously Kyle brings to the table. And this team lost. Miami Heat, again, championship aspiration team, a team that sat Jimmy Butler and PJ Tucker the night before so they'd be fresh and ready for this Toronto Raptors team, who had a 15-point lead, 65-50, lost this game. And the Raptors snatched it from them playing really high-level basketball. And when you look at what Nick Nurse did last night in his substitutions, in his play calls, in, you know, hunting for mismatches, in just sneaky, almost playoff-like introductions of new sets, I think Eric Spoelstra took it personally. And, you know, these games do happen. I've seen it happen to some of the greats in the regular season. They just, a coach gets under their skin. But this group is special. Not saying they're going to win a playoff series this year necessarily. Not saying they're going to win the NBA championship next year. But this group has the potential that in 2024, as we've talked about on the pod many times, that they have that kind of ceiling of championship ability, of championship reward that many teams just don't have. Cleveland's having a good year. Charlotte's had some good run this season. Chicago has had a great start. I don't think any of those teams can honestly say that they are championship caliber teams or have championship caliber coaching. No offense to any of those teams or coaches, but they don't have the ceiling that this Raptors team does, and it's impressive. Now, what will happen at the trade deadline next week? It's intriguing. What happens to Dragic? What do we do with Svi Mykhailiuk and Malachi Flynn? It will be very interesting. Are we going to get things for the future like draft picks? Are we going to get something more, a little bit riskier, a little more to help this season? You know, there's names like Dwight Powell from Dallas that have been talked about. There have been names like Caris LeVert that have been talked about. There are vets and there are younger players and draft picks that are out there should the Raptors want to go for them. And this is what's so interesting. There's a great picture last night that actually Drake put in his Instagram story. It's a picture of him talking to Masai about what's going to happen at the trade deadline. Now, whether they are talking about that or not, they might not have been talking about it at all. They might have been talking about real estate in Miami and how Drake was out looking at homes and saw Dragic looking in the same neighborhood and decided not to buy in that area. Who knows what they were talking about? But it is an intriguing situation, knowing this team's upside for the future, but seeing how well they've played, especially against the top teams in the East, Philly, Chicago, Miami, Milwaukee. The Raps have played all those teams really well. The only team that we haven't played well this season is the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know if we're, you know, caught in the stars with Harden and KD. I don't know if there's something that Steve Nash does. I don't know if it was just early in the year and now we're figuring things out and we haven't played Brooklyn in 2022. And, you know, who knows what will happen? We got two more games against them. They're in games that are consecutive. I don't believe that they're back-to-back games, but they're consecutive games. But that will be interesting. But the fact that we've been this good so far against that many teams, either playing them competitively to the wire, like we have against Chicago twice, or whether we have beaten them outright, beaten Milwaukee twice, beaten Miami twice, does that mean that it's going to translate into the playoffs? Who knows? But we can compete with them. We match up very well against them. I don't think any of those top five teams would be interested in playing us in the first round. They want to coast. And so it'll be interesting to see how Milwaukee treats the second half. Yes, they've had injuries. They certainly don't want to get injuries by playing too hard in the regular season. But they have taken their foot off the gas a bit. They have coasted at times. I still think Milwaukee is a top two team, along with Brooklyn, when they're fully healthy. The Brooklyn games, actually, February 28th and March 1st, my guess is KD will play in one of those games, and it will be the Brooklyn game at home on March 1st. But it is a back-to-back. I was mistaken. That will be really interesting as well to see the progress that the Raptors have made. Because remember, the last time those two teams tangled, the Raptors lost in overtime and should have won in regulation. And they made some defensive boo-boos that cost them that game. That was December 14th, before the big turnaround. I would say the turnaround game of our season was our loss to Philadelphia. We lost by five. They had Embiid, Tobias Harris. We did not have many of our players. Many guys were out that game. And then we went on a winning streak against some, depleted lineups for sure. The Clippers, the Knicks, the Spurs. But then we did beat Milwaukee and Milwaukee on a back-to-back. We then beat Utah and a New Orleans team that's not making the playoffs this year. But then we competed with Phoenix, beat Milwaukee again in Milwaukee on a back-to-back, played Miami very hard. Forced Dallas to get all of the all-star talent out of out of Luka Doncic. They squeezed the 41 points out of Luka because they would not win without that. And then we beat Washington, threw away a game, just really played terribly against Portland. And that was probably the Portland and Detroit games were the only two games, I think, that we played badly in the month of January. We then annihilated Charlotte, played Chicago right down to the wire without Fred VanVleet. And I think we were without Scottie that game, although I could be wrong. Maybe not. Maybe not. But Gary Trent Jr. was ejected from that one. That's a whole other story. And then again, that Miami game, something changed. Triple overtime. Beat Atlanta, beat Miami, and here we are, 26 and 23, with some really good basketball being played in 2022. If we can keep this rolling, who knows, right? But all that to say that Masai has his work cut out for him, as usual. And in Masai, we trust. Did we think Scottie Barnes was going to be this good when he was drafted? No. Some of us thought a little more optimistically. Some of us were more hopeful or saw enough from his game in Florida State that we thought, okay, interesting. He'd be an interesting guy to pick, but not the typical guy we'd pick. Did we think Fred VanVleet was going to be this good back in 2017? No. 2018. You could see some signs, but no. Did we 2019? Not until the playoffs. And even with Kyle Lowry, did we think Fred VanVleet was going to play this good? No. OG Anunoby, I think there was a lot more promise and hype about, but then he got injured in 2019, missed that playoff championship run. Did we think that he would be this good right now after he missed the championship run? I don't know. Pascal Siakam. Did we think that he would be this good, putting up these ridiculous numbers, doing things like, having 325 points and 100 assists in the month of January, doing that alongside Fred VanVleet, who did that, and being one of only three duos since 1975 to do that. Other names on that list were Magic Johnson, who did it with a teammate in 1979. Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan did it in 1992. And the only other combination in the history of the NBA since stats were being looked at after the merger between the ABA and the NBA in 1975 has been Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. Did we think Pascal would be this good? No. So here we are, having put this team together, this starting lineup, elite level starting lineup, in terms of what their future will look like should they stay healthy. Is Masai Ujiri going to do something for now in the next 8 days? Or is Masai Ujiri going to say, I'm going to play the long game again, just like I am with this starting unit, Scottie Barnes, Gary Trent Jr. And am I going to believe that this bench can play well enough, get us into that six seed, or at least win the play-in games and get us into the playoffs, and then we'll figure it out in the offseason? I'm telling you, with the decisions that Masai Ujiri has made, he might be our biggest draw. With the fun and the chemistry and the leadership of the starting group, of specifically Fred VanVleet, I think all of a sudden some free agents, maybe not the top three or five guys, but some free agents are going to start looking over to Toronto. And we'll have money when Dragic's salary is off the books. When teams start looking at who's the coach, Nick Nurse is a top five coach in this league. Even if some of you are signing apologies to Nick Nurse, this guy is a top five coach in the league. So it will be mighty interesting, but at the end of the day, regardless of the intrigue level, in Masai we trust. We've said that always. I had to apologize with the Gary Trent Jr. thing. And I didn't even think when I apologized 6 weeks ago that Gary would be this good. But Gary is darn good, folks. And as Fred VanVleet said, he is the flow. Sounds kind of like Matrix things. All right, y'all. Have a great day. We'll catch up to you later. If you're in Ottawa downtown, stay safe. In the meantime, be gentle with yourself. Be gracious with yourself. And have a great day. We'll catch up to you against Chicago. Peace. We'll be right back.